Welcome to the worship service of Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street, Pea Ridge, Arkansas. We hope this message will provide both meaning and inspiration for your life. Listen now for today's message.
Our call to worship. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us. God has anointed us to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. Let us worship together the God of justice and peace. Affirmation of faith. We believe in a God who created all things and seeks for all to be in communion as God's people. We believe in Jesus Christ, who showed us how to share love and who commissioned us to go out into the highways and byways, inviting all to be a part of God's work in the world. We believe in the Holy Spirit, who leads and guides us into the world, that touches the lives of those around us in ways that make them receptive to love. We believe in the harvest and the call for laborers to receive and respond, sharing light, love, and life with the world. Amen. Our first scripture text comes from the 61st chapter of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Strangers will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. And you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion, and instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And so you will inherit a double portion in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up, and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. If you have your Bibles this morning, please join me as we read our second scripture text from the first chapter of Romans, verses 8 through 16. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because the news of your faith is being reported in all the world. For God, whom I serve with my spirit in telling the good news about his Son, is my witness that I constantly mention you, always asking in my prayers that if it is somehow in God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I want very much to see you, so I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, that is, to be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. Now, I want you to know, brothers, that I often planned to come to you, but was prevented until now, in order that I might have a fruitful ministry among you, just as among the rest of the Gentiles. am obligated both to Greeks and barbarians, both to the wise and the foolish. So I'm eager to preach the good news to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is God's power for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Last week's sermon was on the good news in the book of Romans, and we focused on three people in church history whose lives were changed by the writings of Paul in the book of Romans, and how those three went on to transform the world and the church as we know it. St. Augustine, Martin Luther, and John Wesley. And we talked about how the good news of the book of Romans changes and transforms me and you. Today, we're going to look at the positive influence we can have on others because of the good news of Romans and how that gives us the ability, the talent, the skill, and the courage to obey the Great Commission of making disciples as we share and witness our faith in Jesus Christ. So let's begin as we think about what prompted the letter to the Romans to be written in the first place. The Apostle Paul spent 10 years from the year 47 AD to 57 in intensive evangelism and discipleship in the territories bordering the Aegean Sea in what is now modern-day Greece and Turkey. During those years, he systematically, with a well-thought-out plan, concentrated his mission work on the Roman provinces of Galatia, Macedonia, Achaia, and Asia. Along the main roads of those provinces and in their principal cities, Paul preached the gospel and planted churches. Paul took the last words of Jesus very seriously. The words that said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." This is still the mission and the purpose of the church today. You can go online and Google United Methodist Church mission, and what will pop up will be the mission of our church today that says the mission of the church is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. You'll also find a very similar mission statement for the Southern Baptists on the Great Commission. So Paul wrote the book of Romans to tell us about his efforts of evangelism and to encourage the churches to continue the working of sharing the good news. New faith communities were planted in Iconium, Philippi, Thessalonica, Corinth, and Ephesus, and churches in many other cities around those four provinces. Then he left behind spiritual leaders and elders, of course, under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Those spiritual elders and leaders would take on the work of discipleship, the work of teaching and training of how to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and then grow in faith to become mature enough to also share the gospel of the good news to others. Even though the Apostle Paul had completed three missionary journeys during the 10 years, his work was by no means finished. During the winter of 56-57, while in the last part of his third and final missionary journey, Paul spent time in Corinth at the home of his friend and new convert Gaius. He looked forward to a visit, which he had to be paid, to Jerusalem in the immediate future. You probably have already heard the old joke. Why was the racehorse named Bad News, haven't you? Because bad news travels fast. Bad news spreads fast because it is a curiosity, gossip, drama, because there is power in good news. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes." The term Judeo-Christian has been used since the 1950s to emphasize commonality between Jews and Christians, and in recent years, even to stress a common Abrahamic heritage between Muslims and Christians. But here, Paul gives the term its early big push in teaching Jews and Gentiles the gospel. So let's take a quick look at what the good news does. Good news is a release for the human heart. The basic element of Christian faith is to worship and praise God. Every believer is therefore Christ-centered and drawn to share the good news of Jesus during worship. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun." We publish that we belong to Christ. We share that we are a new person. We discard the old life and we begin to live the new life that has begun. The Holy Spirit reforms, recreates, restores the image of God that was once broken by sin. Great joy takes place in heaven when just one person turns from sin to our Savior Jesus Christ. And the Bible teaches us that even the angels in heaven rejoice and celebrate. I've heard of a pastor who was taking New Faith Communities leadership training. And at that training, they heard reports on 4 new ministries that were starting in the district. As they closed up their meeting, where they were celebrating the good news of that 4 ministry starts, a man walks in the front door and he asks, "Is this a church?" Of course, all the pastors looked around at each other thinking, well, of course it's a church, but they didn't say that. The head pastor of that location stood up and went back to the man we'll call John, and they began to talk. And they were blocking the door, so the other pastors didn't necessarily have a way out, so they just stood there and talked quietly among themselves until they turned and they saw that the pastor and John had fallen to their knees and were praying. So these other pastors, they get together and they formed a circle around the two and they put their hands on them and they began, as they were praying, for repentance and deliverance and salvation. As the prayers ended and they opened their eyes, they saw the floor was literally wet with tears where John had cried out in anguish to God for forgiveness. You see, John was in boot camp on September 11th, 2001, when the World Trade Center towers were struck. He was among some of the first newly trained Marines to be deployed to Iraq. John's job was a sniper, and he was tasked with killing his target at any cost. He shared that he had been given a badge of honor for achieving his objectives, but he was ashamed that in the light of duty, he had done some things. You see, there's a term in the military called collateral damage, and collateral damage was those non-combatants that are in the line of fire or who were wounded or killed accidentally or unintentionally. It was for those people who John had the most difficulty getting forgiveness from himself. There's often post-traumatic stress in the life of people who return from service in the military. John, of course, is going to need a lot of reform. He's going to need to be recreated. He's going to need to be restored. And I don't believe for one minute that the pastor's meeting on that Thursday night, when there's not usually any meetings at that church, was coincidental at all. God placed those pastors and John together at the right place and at the right time. And as one of the brothers said as they were departing, he said, "John, welcome to God's family." Friends, there are hundreds of people like John within a few miles of this church and the other churches in Northwest Arkansas. I'm not talking about snipers or Marines. I'm talking about the lost who are so confused because of the poverty and not having a job that pays the wages that they need. Or they're living in an abusive relationship that they can't get out of because they have nowhere else to go. Or they're addicted to some bad habit that's taking control over their lives. Or maybe they've just never really been at the right place at the right time to be introduced to Jesus. See, Jesus Christ is the one and only higher power. Jesus Christ is the one and only higher power. Today, as we worship, I'm certain that you can look around and without a doubt there are people here today and the people we see today who need to hear the good news. And that good news is going to be a great release for the human heart. The good news also yields us freedom from guilt. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, says Romans 8:1. You are guilty. The first step to healing is realizing that you're no better than anybody else. You are not better than the person who sits with you. There are no big sins and there are no little sins. There is just sin. Because we are all human, we repeatedly break the holy word of God. And without forgiveness through Jesus Christ, we have no hope at all. Try as hard as we might to understand this, we often misunderstand this simple truth. Two hunters were taking a hunter safety training class. And during the course, they were told that if they were ever out in the field hunting and if they got lost or turned around or injured and they needed help, the universal signal that a hunter needed help was to fire three shots up into the air. So sure enough, on their first trip hunting, they got lost. One of the men twisted his ankle and was having a difficult time walking. So they decided to call out for help, and one of the hunters shot three times up into the air. An hour later, there was no help, so they talked and they decided to try again. So they shot three times up into the air. Another hour went by, and still no sign for help, so they talked and decided to try again. One hunter said to the other, "This better work because this is my last three arrows." We can have the best of training and still misunderstand the message. We can have the best of intentions and still get it wrong. Paul teaches that first we are accountable to Christ. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That is the good news. Second, knowing that I have sinned and that I need the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I now turn from my sins and trust in Jesus Christ for my eternal life to forgive me and deliver me from the grips of sin's power. So the book of Romans explains how Paul's first mission is evangelism. That's getting the people saved. And then the second is his connecting those new believers to small groups of other Christians called the church, who are not only holding up the accountability of Christ individually, but also holding one another accountable to each other. Imagine it's a sunny day and you head out to the beach for a swim. Beach sounds really nice right now, doesn't it? And you plunge into the water, and just as you come up, you see a sign that says, "No swimming, sharks." Your day is ruined. It's the sign's fault? No. We're glad the sign is there to warn us. We're thankful for the person who put up the sign, but the sign doesn't get rid of the sharks. Somebody has to put up the sign. You have to see the sign. You have to read the sign. You have to believe the sign, and then you have to obey the sign. Just like the good news doesn't get rid of sin, because we're all human, into the flesh and sold by the bondage of sin. We're at war with the flesh. The flesh is at war with the spirit. But hear the good news of Romans 7:25. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other with my flesh, the law of sin. The good news is that God forgives. God forgives all manner of sins. What would you have said to John the Sniper? Could you have shared the good news of God's real victory over sin? Could you have proclaimed to him, "Not guilty. John, you are set free. You are no longer condemned. Welcome to the family of God." The good news produces something meaningful. Sin is a trap. Life becomes an endless cycle of pain and hurt and hurting and pain. This is a result of futility and despair resulting from that bad news. Sin may be fun for a moment. Sin may be enjoyable for a season, but after a little time, sin becomes miserable. But the Apostle Paul preaches to the Romans in chapter 15, the gospel has overcome sin. The gospel has broken the power of bad habits. The gospel removes guilt. The gospel replaces fear with love. The Greek word for gospel means good news. In other words, it's the gospel that produces something meaningful in life, but somebody has to tell the good news. You have to open your eyes and heart to see it. You have to open your ears and soul to hear it. You start to believe, and then you have to follow and obey. Sin's not something meaningful in life. Oh, there are a few people who go around showing themselves and bragging about their sin, but for the most part, sin is not something people brag about. It's not something people put on a resume for a job. It's not impressive or carries much weight even in a sinful society like ours. Sin produces nothing meaningful, but the gospel, the good news on the other hand, that produces something important. The cross is something that carries a lot of weight. The empty tomb has a significant effect on the world. In fact, we can all agree that it has changed who we are. It has produced something meaningful in my life and in yours. Something so big and so good that we just can't help but share it and talk about it. Let's talk about the good news more than any other news. Amen? Let's share the gospel more than anything else. Wouldn't it be great if your next conversation could include the words, "Welcome to God's family."
Listening to today's message. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church is a home for people of all backgrounds and ages. We rejoice in each new person that comes our way. Our goal is to enable you to make faith in God a vital part of your everyday life by creating an environment where worship is meaningful and uplifting, where teaching from the Bible is relevant to life situations, where friendships are significant and prayer is practiced as a continuing communication with God. Are you looking for a church? Between churches? Perhaps burned out on church? Come give our church a try. We are Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Find us on Facebook, and our web address is pearidgeumc.net. Or you can call Pastor Jeremy Gross at 479-553-9585. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, anchored in the past, moving toward the future, making disciples for Christ along the way.